is Ed Mazur with the City Club of Chicago Report. Our meeting today on February 16th featured four commissioners for the City of Chicago, actually three and one from the Chicago Housing Authority. Brian Bannon, the Library Commissioner, David Reifman, the Commissioner of Planning and Development, and Lynn Osmond, the CEO of the Chicago Architecture Foundation, and Eugene Jones, head of the CHA. And they talked about how communities could be revitalized through libraries, housing, and improved civic architecture. Really, we had an example of synergy of housing, library, architectural development coming together and being greater than any separate part. And they focused on some new developments on the west side of Chicago in the 1340 Taylor, 1422 Elston on the northwest side, and on the far northwest side, where libraries, housing, and economic development within the next 2 years will bring a new vitality and lifestyle to those communities.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mayor Emanuel.
Thank you, Jay. I'm very excited about this forum, but I will let you know that my commissioners are all very excited because this officially means I don't have to nudge them anymore about this. And if you're not sure what the word nudge means, lean over to your right. Somebody will tell you and translate it for you. Let me, if I could, give a little history, a little background on the road to this, not only this forum, but what the city's about to embark on. About 3 years ago, 4 years ago, in the back of the yards, we're building a new high school. And both the alderman at that time and residents came to me and says, we don't have a library, a neighborhood library. Ours burnt down a couple years ago, etc. Now, at that point, the Chicago Public Libraries did not have a capital budget or a capital plan for a new library, and things were tight there. A lot of my commissioners know this and other people individually. I swim in the morning a mile, and that's where I kind of clear my head and start thinking. So I thought, I don't know, maybe lap 18, I don't know, that one of the things that, why don't we put a neighborhood library in the new neighborhood high school? High schools have libraries. It wasn't so far along that I was messing around with the blueprints. And what became an idea in the pool, we sat down, and so we put a neighborhood library in the neighborhood high school. It's back of the yards high school. Their first graduating class will be this year. It's an international baccalaureate program. In case you don't know it, Chicago has the largest international baccalaureate program in the United States, and the graduation rate is 98%. And the library is on the first floor, not upstairs, and a separate entrance for residents in the community from the kids in the high school, although they share the same library. And it's been a tremendous success. Now, a lot of policy advisors and people that do urban planning call it shared space, co-location. I would call it economical because we wanted to get a neighborhood library. We had no other way to do it, but we're building this $100-plus million high school. It's going to have a library. Let's just make it a neighborhood library. And it's been a tremendous success. So that was one point on the kind of map. The second point, if you haven't been there, you might have read about it, but Skidmore Owings had done Chinatown Library, and it has become the I saw some international ratings of libraries across from an architectural standpoint. I think it was either sixth or fourth, and I can't remember which, best new library in the world from a design standpoint. And has won more awards architecturally and engineering-wise than any other, I think, public building Chicago has done in recent memory. And so one of the things that we were talking about, we meet as a cabinet. My cabinet tries to run away from my phone calls, but of doing something unique in the city of Chicago, and I have read stories about this in other cities in some variation, but we'll call it shared space co-location, but taking the same concept that we've done in back of the yards, but do it with housing, and bring together three aspects of Chicago, I think, that are really important. One, our architecture. We're world famous for modern architecture, not only with the schools around it, and I don't mean just academic centers, I mean schools of thought around architecture. And people from around the world come to Chicago, which is why we also have the first ever in the North America, very successful, architectural biennial here in the city of Chicago. So using our architectural strength, if you don't know this, Chicago Public Libraries 2 years ago won the award for the best neighborhood library system in the United States and number three worldwide. You know about the architecture, but Brian Bannon and his team have done a tremendous effort, the Library Foundation, the entire library staff. I can't say enough good things about it in the sense of the only library system in the all 80 neighborhood libraries, that between 3 and 6, there's a teacher there for homework help. Free. You can't beat that price. Free. That's it. Any subject. Second, if you want, only system in America, you can go online, English and Spanish, and get neighborhood, you get homework help from kindergarten to calculus, any subject, live, 6 o'clock in the morning to midnight. And that's when kids do homework, trust me. And it's the only system that provides that free. Now, the truth is, if Amy and I want to provide something for our kids, we can do it. But if you're a recent immigrant, or your high school may be the last point of your education, how do you provide your kids homework help on math, on history? Our library system is exactly that. And Brian and his team have done a tremendous job of reimagining the libraries past brick and mortar. So bringing architecture, libraries, and then I also want to say public housing. Rethinking again a whole vision of not just housing, but of communities. And really, in the end of the day, you can call it co-location, you can call it shared space. Housing without a grocery store, housing without public transportation, housing without a public library is housing. It's not a community. And what we're about to embark on is the effort of creating through either veterans housing, senior housing, public housing, affordable housing, creating a community. And our kids would do very well, who rely on our neighborhood libraries, to be in spaces with veterans, seniors, and other residents. And using public space as truly public, where people from all walks of life can have a shared space together. And I think that's really what makes Chicago unique. And this project, which we're about to embark on, of bringing both architecture, neighborhood libraries, and creating community all together into one space and one endeavor. And I'm about to introduce David Reifman, who's going to be running, I think, the program today, head of planning commission. He's really excited about this because he wants no more emails from me. This is like his bar mitzvah. So treat it like a really big event for him, okay? Because he is so excited. See, Mr. Mayor, I got this done. It's going to happen, okay? So know when he comes up here and do this, have a little empathy for him. This is a withering effort on my behalf to push him. The truth is, Dave is excited by this project as well. You also have Brian Bannon, who I'm very excited of his tenure here in Chicago at the public libraries, who has ranked it and moved it to be the number one library system in the United States. There is also Gene Jones, who has taken public housing to a new level for us. At one point, the federal government was very concerned about our resources allocation, but moving out and helping us reinvent not only doing public housing, but doing it in a way where it's part of a community, whether that's with park programs, with also making sure in this endeavor with libraries, integrating and using our resources, not only to build housing, but build communities. And then obviously the Chicago Architectural Foundation in being a partner in helping us, because my effort is in this project, and I want to thank Lynn for being here and being part of this, is not just building housing with a neighborhood library. I would like after, if Chinatown would like to stop winning any more awards, library, I would like these next three libraries in different parts of the city to win the awards like the Chinatown Library, which is why our architectural community, who I meet and talk to often, you know, Jeannie Gang has done two boathouses for the city of Chicago. There has been also great work done on the Riverwalk by two great architectural firms for the city of Chicago. And if you go throughout the city, Skidmore Owings has also done tremendous work, as I said, on Chinatown Library. I want their work, both on public housing and the library, to be outside of the box, so to say, literally, and not be a box, and to do stuff that I think will be tremendous as a signature and pay tribute to Chicago as a city with great architecture, not just in the private space, but in the public space. And knowing architects very well, as not as well as Lynn does, I think they're eager to be part of a civic project that creates a community. And so we bring all our strengths together from the architectural community to building communities to our neighborhood library into one great endeavor where I think we'll show the rest of the world of what it means to be the city of Chicago, a world-class city creating communities. So with that, let's start our panel. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see you again here. I want to thank Mayor Emanuel for those remarks and Jay Doherty for having us here. It's my pleasure to help illuminate this incredible initiative with my colleagues from the Chicago Housing Authority, the Chicago Public Library, and the Chicago Architecture Foundation. So as the mayor said, it is truly a unique opportunity to address the needs of three neighborhoods while creating great architecture in the process. It also helps to encourage design excellence and collaboration for future city-sponsored projects while expanding affordable housing and library access across the city. Of course, the mayor has been seeking opportunities to improve design since he took office. This design competition is just the latest public effort to embrace and contribute to the city's built environment, especially in the neighborhoods, either through interagency partnerships that are creating vibrant transit stations, parks, riverfront improvements, and other compelling public amenities, or public-private partnerships that have built everything from homes to grocery stores to urban farms and are transforming sites, blocks, and neighborhoods. This endeavor takes the partnership approach to a new level and at three different locations. I'm going to use my time today to do a very brief overview of the city's design aspirations and the competition, and then we'll hear from Gene Jones, CEO of the Chicago Housing Authority, Brian Bannon, Commissioner of the Chicago Public Library, and Lynn Osman, the CEO of the Chicago Architecture Foundation. And I think all four of us share the mayor's passion for equitable development, public amenities, and high-quality design across the city. I'll ask each of them to share their individual insights and expectations as this process moves forward. From my perspective as the head of the city's planning and development agency, this is a site-specific approach to the goals that our broader design initiatives have successfully accomplished. And I just give a few examples if I can. We recently worked on the Michigan Avenue design guidelines. We refined those guidelines to respect the architecture and scale of the existing buildings on Michigan Avenue while providing new design and investment opportunities along the boulevard. As a result, several high-profile projects are moving forward that will both underscore the beauty of Chicago's front yard while maintaining the elegance of the street wall along Grand Park. And these include Helmut Jahn's high-rise at 1000 South Michigan, the Hartshorne Plunkett Tower next to Essex House at 820 South Michigan, and the nearby Raphael Vignoli building at 1200 South Indiana. We're going to see more projects like this through the new neighborhood opportunity bonus system that we implemented for the downtown zoning district last year. Previously, as most of you know, developers were allowed to build bigger and taller projects by providing certain amenities on site like concealed parking, arcades, landscaping. I think today we have a far more rigorous process that demands design excellence with increased density and which in turn generates funding for new investment in our underserved neighborhoods. More recently, we've just started the community process for design guidelines for the Near West Side, where we're working with developers and architects to leverage the neighborhood opportunity bonus for attractive, smart, transit-oriented projects. We're already seeing the results with the new McDonald's headquarters and the nearby Vendor Village, the Bridgeford food sites, and other sites, there's only one of them, and the other projects that balance the area's urban authenticity with contemporary architecture and smart growth. These kind of projects typically move forward as planned developments that require review of the city's plan commission and city council, each of which expect and demand high-quality outcomes from our internal review and approval process. High-quality outcomes is what we expect at these three sites. So let's take a quick look at them now. The first site is 1340 West Taylor Street. It's a 30,000-square-foot site on the near west side. It's near traditional walk-ups with retail on the ground floor and is a portion of the former Abla Homes housing complex. Oh, we have all three up. Okay, sorry. 4022 North Elston is a 24,000-square-foot site in the Irving Park community, another opportunity to bring density to a vibrant mixed-use district, partly occupied by a vacant funeral home that will be raised. And then finally, 6800 Northwestern Avenue, a 40,000-square-foot parcel in the West Ridge community, an underutilized corner that is across from Warren Park. We know the design community is as excited about this competition as we are. 32 firms responded to a request for qualifications that was issued in December, and they were shortlisted earlier this month. These are the firms that the evaluation committee thought were capable of meeting the city's design goals while possessing critical expertise involving construction timelines and other factors. And I think I want to give a quick shout out to all nine of them, the finalists, three finalists for each site: Booth Hansen, Interactive Design, John Ronan, Landon Bone Baker, Perkins and Will, Perkins Eastman, Ross Barney, Skidmore, Owings and Merrill, and Whelan Kearns. Each firm is getting a stipend to produce bold, unique, and innovative concept that serves the modern branch library as well as functional multifamily housing projects. These are supposed to be inviting, integrated buildings that synthesize the housing component, the library component, and related functions. The evaluation committee will review the updated entries next month, select a winner based on a variety of criteria, including quality and context of architecture, sustainability of the building systems and materials, and their respective layouts, landscaping, and design innovation. The CHA housing components are each slightly different, and Gene can describe those in more detail. For the library, we're talking approximately 16,000 square feet of user amenities, multiple age-appropriate resources, which Brian will describe in more detail. Each of the winners will be paired with a single developer for each site. The ones for Elston and Western should be announced later this month, and the Taylor Street site will work with Related Midwest, which controls the site right now. From that point, the designs will be refined through the community charrettes that will prioritize local needs and wishes. And then it's full steam ahead for construction to start. We've been given our mission, our directive from the mayor. Time's a wasting. Even sitting here now, we should be out there getting going on this. There's no time to waste. So I'll have questions for our panelists at the end, but with that, I'm going to turn it over. I guess we'll just go right in order down the road. So, Brian, your comments. Thank you.
All right. Next slide, please.
Thank you.
So, you know, I think to frame this, at least from the perspective of the libraries, it's important for us to think about what the Chicago Public Library is, what the reach that we have through our libraries, and really what our value and purpose in a neighborhood. I think that looking around the room, I don't know every library patron, but I suspect that there are a few library users in the room. You wouldn't be alone. So we have 80 libraries in Chicago. We're in every neighborhood in the city. And it makes us one of the largest, the second largest urban public library in the United States, and one of the largest public libraries in the world. And what's so special about that is that we have, we're an artery, we're an anchor that is literally in every part of our city, that serves the entire spectrum of people within our cities. And it's an incredible platform for us to think about as we look at how we really want to transform neighborhoods, particularly neighborhood strategy in Chicago. A few just key statistics: we have 10 million people visited Chicago libraries last year. Just by point of reference, that's more than all of our museums in the city visits combined, and actually more than all the sporting events as well. So it's a heavily used public institution, arguably the most. We have about a million active library users, people who've actually used the library, their library card in the last year, so roughly a third of Chicagoans. We're also, when you look at where we're touching Chicago's neighborhoods, we're touching them in public technology, so one in three Chicagoans isn't readily online, and so the library is the place where people go to get online. So we did, 2.5 million computer sessions last year, but we're also doing an incredible amount of work as it relates to children and families, and so as you heard the mayor talk earlier, how we support children's success in school through out-of-school time learning, homework help, and other programs, but also how we help kids and parents and families prepare their kids for school and all the way through up in adults. And so there's a vibrant, rich assortment of targeted programming that really is looking at how we can make our neighborhoods more connected, supporting our neighborhoods' economic development goals, our educational goals, and also supporting uniform access across the city to key tools and technologies. And so it's that platform that we're looking at as a tool, as an opportunity to really drive neighborhood development. So next slide, please. I want to give you a couple of examples of some of the things that we're doing in each of those areas. So when we think about early childhood or early learning, One of the things that we think is really important or an opportunity in the library and thinking about this partnership with the Chicago Housing Authority is that we provide roughly 700 early childhood programs a month through our 80 libraries. And so these are story times, early childhood development programs, essentially programs designed to onboard families who are new parents to help develop programs and services that are really helping parents prepare their kids for school. It's also a place where the neighborhood naturally comes together, where families are coming together and learning together and forming and shaping sort of their values around early childhood development. We're also, you know, once kids get into the school, once they get into school, we have a whole series of programs that we're doing at the neighborhood level that are really designed to help those kids find real success in school in the out-of-school time learning. And much of these actually are done in partnership with our private partner, you heard the mayor mention earlier, the Chicago Public Library Foundation. And I know we have members of both of our boards, the library board and the foundation board here. But these programs are critical. We have not only homework help at all 80 branch libraries after school, both in person and online, but a variety of different programs that are designed to help kids in their quest for learning throughout the school year. Another big new area that we've been focusing on is supporting kids in the summer slide. So during the summer months when kids are seeing a learning loss, we're actually working to combat that. So we've doubled enrollment from 50,000 to 100,000 kids in our summer programs. And what's exciting about that is not only are we seeing reach at scale through the neighborhood libraries, but these programs are directly linked to 15% increases in reading gains, 20% increases in math and science gains. And so these are real indicators of how libraries can support true success for children as they're navigating the school process, both during the school years, but also even in, more importantly, in the summer months. Moving on to some of our teenagers, we have a mentorship program that started back in 2009 and is now at the Harold Washington Library. Is now we have it at 12 of our neighborhood libraries, but is now the model for how we engage teens in learning. It's called U-Media. If you saw the Grammys last week, you may have noticed that Chance the Rapper took home two. He's a U-Media alum, and he's so passionate about how this program impacted his life that every 6 weeks, despite all of his great success, in fact, he'll be with us in 2 weeks, he hosts a citywide open mic night at the Harold Washington Library that brings teens together from around the city to do spoken word. But this is a program that started with a small group of kids at Harold Washington Library, is now in 12 libraries. But as we open these new concepts, they will support digital media and learning and mentorship programs. So there's recording studios, there's CNC milling machines and 3D printers and basically all the emerging tech that we believe is will be drivers of our future creative economy in the future. And it's all there available for teens for free, and it's in their neighborhoods. So we're excited about the ability to bring that kind of sophistication, that kind of programming to our neighborhoods. And we think it's an important part of what will make our neighborhoods stronger in the future and connect teens hopefully to post-secondary opportunities and jobs. Thinking about sort of the next spectrum is that I mentioned before that we're the largest provider of free public technology access, that one in three Chicagoans doesn't have ready access to technology. And so as we think about this, how we support adult learning, not only are we supporting adults in getting online basic skills instruction, applying for jobs. In fact, the Cyber Navigator program that's supported by our Library Foundation last year alone, participants self-reported roughly 1,000 of them found jobs as a result of this program. And it's not even a workforce development program. So it's that type of sort of high-touch programming in the neighborhoods that are helping people find those jobs, helping people get the skills they need to find success. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we're also, again, infusing that with emerging tech like virtual reality, again, 3D printing, advanced manufacturing. And it's this kind of programming also for adults that we bring into our neighborhoods and our neighborhood libraries. Finally, sort of the other sort of leg or aspect of the programming and the work that we do through neighborhood libraries is actually turning that space back over to the community. And so thinking about all the rich assets that we have in the city, whether it's the Museum of Science and Industry bringing programming, science programming to neighborhoods, or whether it's our work with citizenship organizations in the city helping people on their path to citizenship, or whether it's workforce development and many other programs, the library can be an artery, it can be a platform for bringing those rich assets that we have as a city directly to where people are in the neighborhoods. And so it's meeting space, it's study space, and it's community space that allows for that natural progression. One final point I want to make before I hand it over to Eugene that I think is important to underscore and I think is an opportunity that we look at closely through our libraries is that really, our public libraries are the last institution, really the only institution that really touches the full community. So this is the richest Chicagoans, the poorest Chicagoans. It really represents, the usership really represents who we are as a city. The opportunity to leverage an institution that is in every neighborhood, that is trusted, that is actually touching our full spectrum, especially when we're talking about integrating housing into communities and bringing those people together through learning, curiosity, all the things that make a neighborhood strong, we think is a really powerful opportunity through our libraries. And I'll be honest, for all the great partnerships that we have around the city, it hadn't occurred to me or our programming team to work this closely with the Chicago Housing Authority, and actually took, and he's not here, so I'll say it, took the mayor to really, really connect those dots. He's really aware of all the work that we're doing through libraries. We're not just sort of a book vault. We're doing all these great programs, and really pushed us to think, look at what Chicago Housing Authority is trying to do in terms of really elevating and raising all tides in our neighborhoods and looking at the crossover and mission, looking at the crossover and opportunity, and really that idea that really got the two of us really talking about how we can not only have a meaningful collaboration in strong civic architecture, bringing libraries to neighborhoods through housing, but also matching up on programmatic areas that allow us to raise our communities together. Thank you.
Gene?
thank you, Jay, from City Club. Appreciate you inviting us here, and also from the mayor, Ron Emanuel, from this great city of Chicago. Now, I'm using a different tack, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to be straightforward, boring, or anything like that, because I have some jokes. And, and let me tell you, the mayor didn't underscore the stuff we've been going through in the libraries. Quite frankly, when they said come to City Club and talk about libraries, I sat there and said, oh, shit. When the mayor calls, I put a little asterisk and says library, because I know that's what he's calling about, is a library. Every time, Gene, what are, where are we at? Where are we doing and so forth? So I'm kind of burnt out on libraries right now, but I don't want to go by one no more. I want to give you a joke, and I want you to, I'm saying this, and I'm pretty sure you'll relate to this. This is a stereotype that they give my employees who are here today, my board of commissioners, and so forth, and this is not the case. It wasn't ever the case, but this is a stereotype. So here's a joke called Three Wishes. A government employee sat in his office, and out of boredom, decided to see what was inside this old filing cabinet. He poked through the contents and came across an old brass lamp. You know where I'm going to. This would look good on my mantle. So he said, I'm going to take it home, put it right there on the fire mantle. While polishing the lamp, a genie appeared and, as usual, granted him three wishes. He says, I would like an ice-cold Coke right now. He gets his Coke and drinks it. Now that he can think more clearly, he states his second wish. I said, I wish to be on an island with a beautiful woman who will find me irresistible. Suddenly, he's on an island with gorgeous women eyeing him lustfully. His last wish, he said, he tells the genie, he says, his third wish and his last wish. I wish I'd never have to work again. Instantly, he was back in his government office. Only me, ladies and gentlemen. So let's talk about the concept on the rendering of mixed-use building. See, now I got your attention. Mayor Emanuel has challenged the CHA to reshape the way we think about public housing. Now, it's just not Chicago. It's really across this country. I was on the website yesterday, and I looked, and I was trying to find housing, especially affordable housing, library, and so forth. I can find libraries. I can find housing, but I couldn't find the two. New York City isn't trying to embark on something. They started this in 2014, but no one really has come to the table and done something like this, a standalone building. And so we looked at this as an innovative approach to use as a model across this country to connect the dots that have been surely missing to build up a community and not try to do twice or trying to do it on a silo, trying to do it in conjunction with my great colleague here, Brian, to do something that makes sense. Stick our neck out and sit there and support this and then be a beneficial to our community. While urban planners and policy people have been talking about this idea for many years, Chicago is doing it. I guarantee you those three are going to be open by next year, December 18th, hopefully, or I won't be here. It will be done. it will be done. Okay, so we'll be having ribbon cuttings December of 2018. Collating libraries with affordable housing provides housing and learning centers while they are needed and makes communities more resilient and sustainable. Co-location through mixed-use development is also a smart financial decision because we are able to most cost-effectively build the resources communities want and need. Why can't we work with our sister agencies, provide services and so forth, so it's a benefit to not only who we're serving but the surrounding community? As importantly for CHA, these three new developments will allow CHA to deliver new housing units on the north side and expand affordable housing. Our mandate is to try to find opportunity in the north, and we've been doing that ever since I've been as the CEO of Chicago Housing Authority. So to the advocacy groups who sit there and say that we're not trying to do enough, yes, we're doing more than enough. We're trying to do a lot more, but we're not going to be able to satisfy everyone. What we're doing, what we had mandated to do, especially under Guatro, is to move people in opportunity areas, provide them amenities that they've not received in the south or the west or wherever you live, and so to try to make parity. We know that housing is vital to our neighborhoods, but strong, healthy communities also require community anchors that provide resources for lifelong learning, as Brian had mentioned. Share the typical Chicago neighborhood building configuration, whether newly constructed or rehabbed or older, the uses of the first floor of the building for commercial public tenants and the floors above the housing. Now, when you see these pictures, don't think we're going to be building a monstrosity, a 97-story unit building, which we have libraries on the bottom. No, we don't know what the design is going to look like. We got to go through an architectural competition. We got to see what that looks like. And you know we got to sit there in the community, and we got to get the alderman to buy into it to see if this is what works in the community, because we don't want a monstrosity. We know that's a library and that's housing over there, and so we can identify that. It has to fit in the community, but it has to be well-renowned because, like Brian said, our mayor, we want to have something that's unique and beautiful in the city of Chicago, what you're known for. A strong first-floor anchor is an important component of this building type, and in each case, these full-service libraries will provide a critical service, first and foremost, for the residents and the community at large. Lastly, CHA is committed to combining affordable housing with mixed-income developments and communities because it supports our mission to leverage housing assets for the benefit of individuals and communities. Knowing that stable housing in communities with assets such as good schools, libraries, and public transportation are critical to the success of both. Strong, healthy communities require community anchors like libraries and amenities that every neighborhood needs. When we think of libraries as a network system and social infrastructure related to other public services, the libraries can help address both citywide systemic issues and respond to social needs of their neighborhoods. Thank you very much. I got one more joke. One more. You know you work for the government if you don't see anything wrong with attending a meeting or a subject you know nothing about. Now, who in the new administration fits that category?
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jean. Lynn?
Well, I'm pleased to be sitting on this panel to really represent what we're talking about today, and that's architecture. And, you know, we are certainly known as a city of architecture, and every year 700,000 people participate with CAF to take our tours to really see this glowing architecture of our city. But really what we want to talk about is neighborhood architecture, because it's really important to have a strong civic function in our neighborhoods. We believe that the built environment really shapes the way people feel about their city and that it really gives them the value of who they are. And that's the reason our mission is to inspire people to discover why design matters. There's a very powerful connection between people and their place, and when they're proud of where they live, they're really proud of their city. And that's why civic architecture is important, and that's why we're here today to talk about those neighborhood interventions. There's a couple of ways that you can look at civic architecture. There is one through the infrastructure projects, which the city is doing a lot of, which I'll talk about. And it's also about programming spaces to attract people. Good design is really critical for the success of both of these approaches. We're seeing the city really embrace architectural innovation, and I was really very inspired by what the mayor said today because it really comes from the leadership at the top. And I think when you look at the city, there's some really great projects going on. So we look at the CTA, and the CTA had a chance to do a cookie-cutter approach and just do the same stops throughout the city. But no, they didn't do that. They hired Carol Ross Barney Architects to do the Morgan Station, the Cermak Station, and really identified what looked good in that neighborhood and developed them there. And then we have the new Washington-Madison stop, which is by ESP Architects. In case you didn't notice, they're moving their headquarters to town. Thank you. But it really makes a strong visual statement where, you know, Wabash for many of us is kind of this block. And with this great architectural gesture, it's encouraged people to come from Millennium Park and to go and explore the loop. Then in 2005, CAF partnered with the city on a design competition for actually bridges over Lakeshore Drive. And we're now seeing the results with the 35th Street Bridge, which is really just wonderful. It's this soaring suspension bridge that goes across Lake Street and also across Lakeshore Drive and the connects the lakefront trail to Bronzeville, really making it accessible to the residents, which was not a case before. And there's two more bridges planned, so that's really quite exciting for the city. And I don't know about you, but when I drive Lakeshore Drive and see this now, it just is very inspirational. The city is also committed to public programs and creating spaces that allow people to gather. And I think we're hearing more about this new concept of housing and public libraries, where it's really about a gathering point, a network. And that's really led the way with parks. I mean, remember in 1999, Ernie Wong's site designs, Ping Tong Park just kind of appeared. And all of us looked at it and said, wow, this is really connecting us again to the river. And then we took on that success and developed another program with Johnson and Lee, which really was the boathouse that really further emphasized that part on the river. And the mayor, you know, is really dedicated. He's talked about the waterfront and he's talked about the lakefront and the river, but he's really committed to making the river the second waterfront for everybody and really connecting us to it. And it's going to be a game changer for our neighborhoods. I don't know how many of you have seen this wonderful Addison Underbridge connection that is happening by Epstein Architects in California Park. And it's just really brilliant because it actually takes the path, the pedestrian bikeway, puts it onto the river so that embankment is really undisturbed. But because it's now a bridge, it allows them to get transit improvement funds. So it's really a brilliant win-win for everybody. And what's great is that this is actually going to connect us to another architectural gem in the city, Studio Gang's new boathouse on the North Branch. So I think these design interventions are really, really important for the city because they allow us to give civic pride. And good design, it really can transform communities. And we at CAF certainly know that because we're about civic engagement and city stewardship, and we really believe in public education. And, of course, you know we do it through our tours and through Open House Chicago, our lectures and programs, all to try to help people see their city differently. And this is going to be a great way for us to talk about the city and what's really possible with our architects and designing new building forms. We're also launching a new initiative called Meet Your City, and our goal is to work with 30,000 teens over the next 3 years to ensure they have the tools to design their city that they want and deserve. And actually, Brian, we're going to be working with you on our Make No Small Plans graphic novel. But, you know, in conclusion, I just want to say that we are so impressed with what's happening in the design leadership in the city. I think the mayor has really stepped up a good role. We're very excited about this new project. What we think is really exciting is that the fact that we have engaged the design community in a design competition. We have paid the architects, which I think is really great. And but we've also, you know, architects excel at this. This is what they do. They're problem solvers. And so the fact that we in Chicago can again solve a problem that, you know, could be exported across the country as a new network, a place that you actually have baby boomers that want to age in place. They want a connected environment to connect with the library, with multi-generational, with what the library brings as a modern municipal service. I think this is really exciting for Chicago, and I look forward to being part of that discussion. Thank you.
If anyone has any questions, just hold it up. Our staff will come around. I see some in the back, the trees and so on. There's a couple in the back.
So I'm going to use the prerogative of the moderator to ask a couple quick questions of our panelists, and then we'll get to all these questions. But my first question for both Brian and Gene is, you know, each site that we're talking about is very unique and different from the other ones. So maybe you could just give a couple seconds on each one, what you see, and what's, you know, different or similar about your goals for each of the three sites. Brian. Gene.
Well, like I said before, other cities, I have considered doing this this approach about housing on top of libraries. But we're going to push those ideas to the forefront because we have a great relationship with CPL, with David and his staff and so forth. And see, we know how to put this together. We just don't want that cookie-cutter approach. We want something that's innovative, that works in the community, that builds great affordable housing, and also connecting the dots when it comes to internet opportunities for our residents to grow, to flourish, and therefore, that's why we think this is a great idea. We're putting everything we can put behind this. We have a great relationship with our local HUD office, our regional office, and HUD in Washington to sit down there and figure this out and make something that's sustainable across, in just in Chicago, but a model, ladies and gentlemen, on all this country, in this entire country.
So one of the things that I think is exciting about these three different projects is they are in different, very different neighborhoods. And so while programmatically we will provide sort of a similar set of services across all of them, so they'll look similar, we'll also provide space for programs and services that are unique to that neighborhood and community. So, for example, there's a project we're working on right now in Chatham, which is not part of this, but is really focusing on a series of interventions that are around workforce development. And I think that as we look at these three different projects, we'll be looking very closely at the three different communities that we're serving and how we can build the right sort of programmatic elements that are unique to that neighborhood. And I think that this opportunity of working directly with housing, even looking at the communities that are going to be in the housing and how we best integrate the services that support, so whether it's family housing or veterans housing, those pieces will be integrated in the core services. The final area that I'm actually really excited about is one of the three projects. Not only is there a library anchoring the housing, it's also sharing a plaza with the new Chicago Housing Museum, which is owned by the Chicago Housing Authority and being gifted to the museum. And so there's a real opportunity for us to actually work directly with a new museum that is telling the story of housing in Chicago. It'll be an oral history, it'll have a major archive, and we'll be sharing a plaza and a piece of property. And so each of these will actually have a housing unit, a library, and a museum that is designed to tell the story of housing and how it's influenced influenced and shaped our city. And that opportunity, I think, is really exciting from a programmatic perspective, and also as a way for us to help peel back the layers of what housing is and how it does bring our communities together. And there's a lot of sort of, I think, opportunities to really help uncover the educational aspects of housing in Chicago with that project.
Lynn, I'd like to ask you a question as the advocate for the non-governmental employee here, you know, us non-workers up here.
I'm working.
As the only one apparently working up here. And as an advocate for architecture, what are the elements of these projects that you think the architectural community would like to see incorporated?
I think architects always like it when it's not a cut-and-dry program. So to give an architect a blank lot is not as exciting as giving them a really challenging problem. So I think that you have got two different user groups. You've got the diversity of the ages that use the library, and then the diversity of the populations in terms of education and wealth. Then with the housing, you've got seniors, but you've got people who really want to be engaged with the library system and engaged with the area around them. So I think you've got a great set of defined challenges. That means that you're going to get really great design.
Great. So I'm going to start taking or adapting the questions I have received. The first one is from Bob Gallo, who's the AARP state director, who has over 200 senior volunteers in 20 CPS K-3 classrooms as reading tutors. And the question would be, what might the role of seniors be in libraries, and how could we tie that into the project the mayor has asked us to undertake?
So we actually talked right before the panel. I think there's probably many ways that we could be collaborating on the homework assistance program that you guys provide. And I think depending on, have we decided which what the housing, will it be seniors, families?
Seniors.
It will be in senior housing. So in some cases, we'll actually have a built-in senior population that could be working directly with the libraries for services, so lots of opportunities to explore there.
I don't know which panelists I can take it, but others don't, but one of the questions is, in terms of quality architecture, the importance of sustainability and creating net zero buildings for a city that only recycles a very small portion of our trash. The person is not sure if that's real news or fake news, the 9%. So I'm just quoting the question. But I think let's broaden the perspective about the role of sustainability from both a library and housing perspective and an architectural perspective. So, Gene?
Sustainability. I think it anchors a community. I think it's something that's going to be around for a long time. It connects the community with instant technology, and you guys know this. I don't have to repeat this. Not every household, not every community has access to Wi-Fi or the Internet, and this gives them opportunities like a destination point if you don't have one, is to come to the libraries and the system and so forth and use the technology, camaraderie, talking to new people in the community that you never knew and so forth. So that keeps the community engaged, and it keeps growing the community because there's opportunity, especially with the young kids, the seniors. What Brian doesn't know, one of the developments, I'm going to have a back door that he's not going to know of, and the seniors can go down there when they can't sleep at night and just sit there and pick up a book and start reading and so forth. But it's that opportunity. It's getting the seniors and the communication and the just getting together and just making the community grow and be positive.
I'm going to read the fine print of our MOU. One of the other... One of the other things, just to add to that, I think that, you know, over the last few years, Chicago has, I think, done a pretty good job of building into its actual building code and guidelines, green design. I mean, I know when we worked on the Chinatown project, there was a lot of really innovative approaches that SOM took to make sure we weren't just getting a beautiful building, but also one that was really sensitive to the environment. So I think that will be one of the fun things to see in a design competition. We're not handing off sort of a prototype to the designers. We're handing off, to the point that you made earlier, Lynn, a challenge, a design challenge to make a beautiful, architecturally significant building that will meet the programmatic needs of both the library and housing, and also to meet the goals that we have in terms of sustainability. And a final note, libraries are a pretty green organization. We do lend out books. So that's recycling, right?
Well, and I just want to say that there's a great opportunity for a teaching tool here, that to use the building as a teaching tool for both the young and the old in terms of what sustainability has. And I am one that believes in climate change, and I think that this is a great opportunity to really teach, use it as an ecosystem for the students.
Yeah, and then just piggybacking as well, you know, our department, you know, as well has recently revamped our sustainability requirements for buildings and becoming more of a variety of options to achieve a more of a value proposition in terms of achieving sustainability on projects. I think I'm going to give this one, I think this could be any of you, but I'll throw it out there. The question is, what kind of technology infrastructure would you like to see in the libraries going forward? And I guess the question I'll expand it is to say, how does it affect both the users of the library and the residents of the projects?
Well, maybe I'll jump in there. One of the things I think is exciting right now in Chicago is that we've been working to expand basic technology access. I know the Chicago Housing Authority will have, I'm assuming you'll have Wi-Fi and those kinds of things in the building, but really looking at this building as a hub to support technology in the neighborhood. So we already provide through our neighborhood libraries free public computing, the computers, free Wi-Fi, a variety of emerging technologies from virtual reality to 3D printers and everything in between. So I think there's a real opportunity, a programmatic opportunity for us to populate the space with the right sort of technologies that help people get online and have the access they need to do the basics. But it's also a chance for us to bring in the more creative aspects of emerging tech that can hopefully inspire, in the same way that we helped inspire Chance the Rapper around music and music production, that maybe we can help inspire the next computer programmer that's going to change the face of, you know, business and technology. So I think from a programmatic perspective, that's a big area of opportunity for the library. But I also think there's room and movement for us to be thinking about what is the unique placement of a library within housing, and are there ways that we could be leveraging emerging tech to better integrate, better support the actual residents of the housing development.
Okay, just a point of clarification I've been handed, just so everyone understands, that the award-winning Chinatown Library was LEED Gold certified, and certainly we're going to expect in this competition that we will achieve the highest. Again, if it's a model for libraries and housing or things, it's going to be a model for sustainability as well. So, Gene, you got from a cost perspective, you've got that. You're set on that. Here.
I think you said platinum, right? Platinum.
Let me read the MOU again. I mean, just like any project, any development that we have in the city of Chicago, we have to leverage our HUD dollars, our flexibility, being a moving to work agency, and to look at financing like we normally do, tax credits, new market tax credits, and all those financing packages that we do to build housing, affordable housing in the city. We're going to bring that to the forefront, and then we're going to work it out. I think because we have a talented staff and our development team and our whole CHA staff, we have done this before, and we're going to continue doing this. And I think this is just something that's quite different, unique, but we know how to put the financing package together to make this thing work. And you will see that come next year, December 2018.
I'm going to finish with this question for each of you. So the model that we're talking about here today combines libraries and housing. And I think, you know, to understand the mayor's perspective, you know, he's looking at ways that we enhance and increase community building. So from each of your perspectives, what would be ways that this approach could become a national model? And how do you see your respective roles and concerns pairing in other areas? So we have the library housing model in this particular case. How would you expand this to other types of development or community building where you would do libraries that are without housing? What would you pair it with? Gene, you with housing, and what other amenities would you like to see? Lynn, from an architectural design perspective, where do you think this could go? Where, again, our city is recognized for its commitment to all three areas and other areas in that as well.
Oh, you're looking at me to start.
I'm looking at all three of you.
Well, I think when you look more at some of the European models is what's happening, especially in the Scandinavian countries. We're seeing a lot of combination of uses, so that schools and libraries are much more common over there. We have security concerns, so we don't always combine those, but it's really an integrated community system. So I think that we can look at what are the municipal services that pair well together. I think we all know that infrastructure is very hard to build, and it's expensive to build buildings. And so we really, I think people now are wanting a networked approach, and that there is that opportunity to engage a lot of people in one building. I found it interesting in looking at an example in the Netherlands where they actually have senior housing where they allocate 10% of it to student housing, and those students in return for having senior housing have to give a tutoring hour allotment to the seniors. So I think that the diversity of age and experience is really important to keep together.
Gene?
I guess I'm looking at it differently. If I'm using this as a model and this works as we open our first three next year in December, What I'm trying to show the world is that we have a public-public partnership. This doesn't happen in cities across this country, where you have a different agency, a sister agency, will sit down and try to figure something out in collaboration. How do we bring our expertise, our services together, and how do we compound those to make something unique and innovative, but something that's doable in our communities? That's why I want to show, well, how did you do this? How did you guys sit down? Why would libraries even partner with you? What do you have? What does the library have to offer? And it's just not the CPL. It could be CTA. It could be any of our sister agencies. How can we sit down and figure something out that we think is a benefit to this great city of Chicago? That's why I want to move forward. We do this. How do we do it? How do we get this collaboration? How do we work together with David's office, Brian's office, and whomever comes to the table? How do we get this collaboration, sit down, no egos or anything like that, that we get something that's unique, that's innovative architecturally, that's just phenomenal, and cross all our T's and dot all our I's and hit every one of the checkbox?
So I just would say I agree with what you guys just said. And to me, what's probably most exciting about this project, and I think that what we'll learn the most from it, is that we're leading with goals around what we're trying to achieve in the neighborhoods. And so in this particular case, we've looked at the mission of the Chicago Public Library and the work that we're doing, the mission of the Housing Authority and what they're doing, and where those missions align and how the two organizations together can have deeper and more meaningful impact in the neighborhood to drive some of our economic goals in the city, drive some of our educational goals in the city. I think that mindset is really important when we think about neighborhood strategy and neighborhood partnerships. If we can show that this works, We can introduce other ideas about recreation and play or other aspects of formal learning, looking at creating deeper collaborations with post-secondary education and bringing those resources, bringing those assets to where people are in their neighborhoods. And I think, again, as we look at our city, I think many of us know that while some Chicagoans get to enjoy the full riches of our city, our museums and our great institutions, many Chicagoans don't spend much time outside of their neighborhood. And so I think that if we can figure out as a city how to bring the best of what Chicago is to where people are in their neighborhoods, I think we're going to be a much better city all the way around. And I think this is a beginning point for us to be looking at that. So to me, that's what's most exciting about it. I think if we can show that this works, it will open us up to many more opportunities as we look down the line.
Please join me in thanking our panelists, Lynn Osmond, Gene Jones, Brian Bannon.